bustling morning that we have. Roll call, please.
Bruce Rinker.
Here.
Debbie Berry.
Here.
Dan Moore.
Here.
Three members are present, which constitutes a quorum.
Join us in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So welcome this morning. This is a special meeting. We don't have too many of these. I can't even remember the last time we had one. So I'd ask Brian just to kind of set the stage, if you would.
Good morning, everyone. We only have one general action item this morning. Rose will be the color commentator, kind of filling in the other components of this. But, you know, this morning we're bringing forward to you the authorization to enter into a settlement agreement and a mutual release waiver between a number of different parties relative to the settlement for MIG. Our whole entire team has been working on this for a good deal of time. I do want to really publicly state we were sued in this process. We were joined to this process. So we, as a public agency, had to defend ourselves relative to the action that Mortgage Investment Group took against many parties relative to the port's taking authority for the work that needs to happen for the slope stabilization relative to Irishtown Bend. So this has been the work of many to get to the point where we can bring forward essentially settlement of this agreement, settlement of this matter with the parties involved. I will have Rose, and I want to publicly thank Katie and Rose and Kip for, you know, A, working through this, and B, trying to keep our fees down as much as we possibly could. Again, we were having to defend ourselves. It was, we did not initiate litigation.
Thank you, Brian. Yes, and want to publicly thank Kip Bolin and Kyle Hurtnick from Thompson Hine, who helped us with this. We don't handle litigation internally because that would require a much larger law department. You know, City of Cleveland has 92 lawyers and they handle litigation internally. And Katie McVoy will take you through the resolution. With her expertise, she comes from a strong litigation background. She was able to work hand in hand with our outside counsel. And you see our bill was much lower than the other public entity who had to resort, you know, and use outside counsel. So we're very pleased we were able to keep those fees down as much as possible. So Katie, why don't you come up to the microphone and just take the commissioners, you know, through the resolution and action. Thanks.
Good morning, commissioners.
Good morning.
As you all know, about 18 months ago, the port's board approved a resolution to begin an appropriation action against Mortgage Investment Group, which was the sole remaining property owner that had not reached an agreement to sell or otherwise transfer its land to either the port or to Riverbed or one of the related entities for the Irishtown Bend stabilization process. As soon as that resolution was passed, Mortgage Investment Group affirmatively took action to sue not only the port, but the City of Cleveland, us, Riverbed, Ohio City Incorporated, Land Studio, all in an attempt to prevent the port from taking the property. We were brought in based on some very, very weak facts relating to the demolition of a building that is near Mortgage Investment Group's property, but not on their property. In the 17 and a half months since they brought that action, this case has proceeded in three separate courts. It has had numerous motions. We have struggled to get action on the judicial side. There were motions to dismiss that were denied. There were other motions that languished for many, many months. Where the case currently stands is the city, the port, and the Cleveland Metro Parks have appealed the judge's denial of the motions to dismiss in one of the two cases in Common Pleas Court. That is up with the 8th District. Oral arguments would proceed sometime in the near future, but we're looking at another 6 months probably before the 8th District took action. And in the meantime, fees keep building up for council and the port is unable to start the stabilization process. So after a good deal of effort and a lot of work by Ohio City Incorporated in particular, Mortgage Investment Group has agreed to a settlement with all of the entities that involves, from our perspective, a payment of $300,000. The port and the city will also be contributing cash towards the settlement, and there are a variety of other related items. But for our purposes, what we are asking you, the commissioners, to approve today is a payment of $300,000 to MIG in order to settle all of the related actions that involve us in this particular longstanding litigation matter.
Rose, I'm going to abstain. And if you feel you need to lay out the rationale, that's fine. But I do want to make a couple of observations, because this is a case of some real complexity, and something that really has been lost in the coverage is, in fact, the legal complexity of the process itself. In Cuyahoga County, the probate court handles eminent domain matters. And typically, when a taking authority initiates eminent domain, it does so indicating that there's a legitimate public purpose. There's a decision made. It's a legislative decision, much as this board would make a decision, or a council of a city, the board of the Port Authority in this instance. What gets lost, though, is that Ohio law also recognizes two distinct forms of eminent domain action. And there is one called quick take, is the slang expression, which means that the taking authority, which usually would not have the right of possession immediately upon initiating the action, in fact, with a quick take, can do so. And most of us are very familiar with construction projects. The Ohio Department of Transportation is basically the bursar for the federal government for highway improvement. This is since, what, the Eisenhower administration, I think, and wields a bunch of power in its ability to use its eminent domain powers. Well, a quick take simply requires the taking authority to put the money into the bank, or the court in this case, to reflect what it has appraised as the legitimate value of the property interest that it's acquiring. And then it goes onto the property and starts the work. The port, in this instance, used that quick take power when it passed its resolution. The idea being that because the bank there is subsiding and the threat of collapse is imminent, the port felt that it was important, basically an emergency basis, to be able to pass a resolution for a quick take. And interestingly, in Ohio, since the late 1800s, the Ohio Supreme Court recognized a river as a road. So much like ODOT would be acquiring property for a road, which the Ohio Constitution recognizes is a preeminent, eminent domain power, that's what the port tried to do. Ohio law also recognizes in its procedures that a property owner who typically would not be able to challenge a quick take has an alternative remedy, and that is to go into the general division of the Common Pleas Court and argue that the exercise of the quick take is an abuse of power, and that instead the court should enjoin, in this instance, the port from exercising that extraordinary power. And that's what MIG did in this case, and went into the Common Pleas Court, pardon me, and had a different judge, one that typically would not handle an eminent domain case. And everything unfolded from that point. So the reference to all the motions, to the fact that we're in three different courts, all of that really comes down to this very technical distinction drawn between a quick take and a regular eminent domain case. Because in a regular eminent domain case, there would be two decisions that the probate court judge would be called upon to handle. First, the right or the propriety of the taking action itself. And then there would be a jury to determine what the valuation is. In this case, the probate court never was able to get to that point, with the Common Pleas Court action going forward and that judge exercising his authority. it really created this kind of conflict. And it's a shame because this is a project that I think we all recognize is very much in the public interest, legitimate, both for the health and safety issues and in the long run for all of the benefits that it will inure to the community. So that's all I want to say. I think that this is something that's got to go forward, and I'll say no more. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Commissioner, for your learned scholar in the area of eminent domain, and we appreciate all of that background and information about, you know, the eminent domain process, because during my tenure here, we have not used eminent domain. And the complexity of this case in litigation certainly is demonstrated by, you know, the amount of hours that attorneys have spent on it. So at this point, we'll have Commissioner Rinker. He's going to abstain. And then
can I ask one question, though, Rose?
Yes.
What if I can ask, if we know, what is the value that they're going to get out of this piece of real estate from all the parties? We don't know that, probably, do we?
Well, I mean, the value that MIG is going to get.
Yes.
So at the end of the day, as the terms of the settlement agreement are reached, it's hard to put a black and white dollar value on it, because there will be a donation of their land once the front part of the building and the billboard are removed. So they will donate that piece out of the gate. Right now, that back part of the building will be cleaved off to allow for the slope work and remediation to take place. So it's hard to put, you know, a specific dollar figure right now.
Yeah.
Until
that's fine. I understand.
Okay, great. Katie, anything else to add?
Nothing else, unless the commissioners had any more questions.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Again, the recommended action falls on the portion of page one to have the board approve the contribution to the settlement in the above described matter for $300,000 in a form acceptable with the law department.
Move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And I abstain.
That is the only action item for today. The next regularly scheduled meeting is Thursday, April 20th.
Committee. You're welcome.
Yep. I certainly, excuse me, appreciate your explanation of this and the intricacies of it, which is beyond most of us here. I just think maybe this could have been avoided, and this is as an outsider, but somebody who watches, by dealing directly with these parties at the beginning. And
they did. No, they absolutely do. They have to.
There was also the possibility that this land could have, you know, you knew you were going to, they knew they were going to need this land, and it could have been acquired in the open market, even as the Jordan.
I'm going to interject here, because the port did that. The port has to do that. The port has to contact the property owner to indicate that it has an interest in acquiring the property. It would do it in the open marketplace.
I understand that, but when it was in the market before, when he bought it, this time it could have been available.
Well, that's woulda, coulda, shoulda. You know, I think that's all speculative.
To Marty's point, it was tried to. Yeah. Ohio City Incorporated did try to secure the property prior to the Georges purchase.
I'm sorry, though, but if you have more to say, go ahead, and I won't interrupt you.
I'm all about trying to make things more expedient and less expensive and all that, and you disagree with me, but I think that he was able to buy it in the open market, so therefore the people who had planned for a long time, as we know, to acquire this property or to do something about the slope, and we've discussed it here for years and years before this board even existed here, that it could have been handled that way, and then all of this would have been avoided, but that's just my opinion.
That's life.
This whole fiasco has just been very disappointing. And I think one point that is left behind is, you know, that high pressure sewage line runs along the road underneath this slope. And no one really looked carefully at the drainage of the slope. And it was just draining, you know, putting heavy drains in that would allow that the other side of the road to stay in position. I mean, I think there are more people. I think we've done a great job on this by coming in and helping, but what a horribly complicated situation to get something very simple solved.
Norm.
Hi, Norm from Hoopoles. Been there for 40 years. Imminent failure's been there for all 40 years. It was a shovel-ready project with the Obama administration's stimulus plan, so that tells you how fast everybody's moved. And the drainage issue, that's been a water leak that the city denies.
Yeah.
But since you and the other entities are going to give whatever the Georges are called, supposedly build them a restaurant up there and give them a 10-year lease where they get to make money off of it. And I'm assuming a parking lot comes with the restaurant that I've been asking for somewhere in the area. So we're going to redesign a little bit there. But some of the details, if you wanted to know about what the Georges are supposedly getting, is a lot of money, what they originally asked for. From what she said, it sounds like she's going to get a tax write-off by donating the land back to you. And then the city's going to give them some billboards on public property where he gets to recover the revenue from it for who knows how long. So he's getting a pretty sweet deal out of it that could have, like you all said, could have been handled a lot faster and easier. But just want to ask for a parking lot again. And when you said also that imminent failure of the hillside, came here a couple years ago and told you about the report that that same company did about the imminent failure of where your Lake Link Trail is, and that was dismissed. So imminent failure is, as they described at that meeting, something that could happen way in the future or tomorrow. It all depends on who wants to interpret it. Thank you.
There's nothing else. I'd ask for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.